Chapter 1. Sandino's Hat. Cristoforo Colón set sail from Palos de Moguer in Spain to find the lands of the Great Khan, where there were castles of gold and the species were growing up in a wildly way. And, when walking on the ways, precious stones were frequently found. However, instead of that world, another, also rich, beautiful, and plenty of fantasy, was discovered. America. I read this passage on a tobacco map of Cuba at Havana Airport. And to a traveller en route to Central America for the first time, it seemed like a propitious text. Later, however, as the plane wheeled over the green lagoon in the crater of the volcano of Apoyeque, and Managua came into view, I recalled another darker text from Neruda's poem Centro America. Land as slim as a whip, hot as torture, your step in Honduras, your blood in Santo Domingo, at night your eyes in Nicaragua, touch me, call me, grip me. And throughout American lands I knock on doors to speak, I tap on tongues that are tied, I raise curtains, I plunge my hands into blood. Oh, sorrows of my land, oh, death rattle of the great established silence, oh, long-suffering peoples, oh, slender waste of tears. To understand the living in Nicaragua, I found it was necessary to begin with the dead. The country was full of ghosts. Sandino vive, a wall shouted at me the moment I arrived. And at once, a large pinkish boulder replied, Cristo vive, and what's more, viene pronto. A few minutes later, I passed the empty plinth upon which, until 7 years ago, there stood the equestrian statue of the monster, except that it wasn't really him, but a second-hand statue from Italy that had been given a new face. The original face had been Mussolini's. The statue toppled with the dictatorship, but the empty plinth was, in a way, a deception. Somoza vive. Chill, dark words, not much heard in Nicaragua, but the beast was alive all right. Tacho was assassinated in 1980 by an Argentine Montonero unit who found him in Paraguay, but there was his shadow haunting the Honduran frontier, a phantom in a cowboy hat. Managua sprawled around its own corpse. 80% of the city's buildings had fallen down in the great earthquake of 1972, and most of what used to be the centre was now an emptiness. Under Somoza, it had been left as a pile of rubble, and it wasn't until after his fall that the mess was cleared up and grass was planted where downtown Managua used to be. The hollow centre gave the city a provisional, film-set unreality. There was still a serious shortage of houses, and Managuans were obliged to improvise with what was left. The Foreign Ministry occupied an abandoned shopping mall. The National Assembly itself sat in a converted bank. The Intercontinental Hotel, a sawn-off concrete pyramid, had unfortunately failed to collapse. It stood amidst the wraiths of old Managua like an omen, an ugly American, but a survivor, nevertheless. It became impossible, I discovered, not to see such a city in symbolic terms. People, too, were in short supply. Nicaragua's population was under 3 million, and the war continued to reduce it. In my first hours in the city's streets, I saw a number of sights that were familiar to eyes trained in India and Pakistan. The capital's few buses, many of them donated quite recently by Alfonsín's new Argentina, were crammed to bursting point with people who hung off them in a very subcontinental way. And the roadside shanties put up by the campesinos, peasants, who had come to Managua with hope